It is quiet. Sometimes you remember the vibrant fancies that your then impetuous world used to gobble up greedily. You think of the happenstances that whirled you from one event to the next, firmly convinced that you were breaching the deadlocked conventions of the adult world. It was the rebelliousness of being young. Everything was possible. Everything was there. But then, quite suddenly, the blaze was smothered. The fire extinguished. Just as the end may befall a dying man without anybody taking notice, your world passed away unheeded too. You are 19. In love with life, you plunge into every single morning as if jumping aboard a bumper car in motion. Your moods lash you. You are an emotion junkie on a roller coaster of feelings, navigating straight away into every single moment. In a cart brimming with hunger for life. Your ideas spark fireworks in your face. 19. This is the time of big dreams. Tonight you will meet a group of people. You want to be one of them, but you're younger and not as cool as they are. It will be exciting. You will be a performer at their art event, which will take place entirely in the dark, from beginning to end. You're much impressed by that. Soon you will sit on a stage in total darkness. Only a curved ornament on your right shoulder blade will be dimly illuminated. In the dark, nobody will see that you're naked. Everything has been rehearsed. The stage has been set. A jet black cloak has been thrown over the auditorium. You're beginning to feel nervous. You're a wave rider, an ego surfer searching for your limits. Overstepping these limits makes you feel yourself. Somebody in the audience is clearing their throat expectantly, impatiently. Protected by the dark, perched on your stool on the stage, you listen raptly as silence slowly falls. Finally, the performance begins. Sounds come from the keyboard. The speaker's voice is gaining strength. Your role does not require any changes. You will remain in the same sitting position all the time. The sound of the keyboard is spreading. Words ring out in the night. It has been going on for some time, and a delicate tension is in the air. The dramaturgy of the piece is straightforward. A cool atmosphere has developed. You are sitting there, motionless. For a moment, it seems to you that the lights in the auditorium have been turned up just a tiny fraction. The speaker is reciting his text while you, slightly worried, are wondering whether your imagination has played a trick on you. Again, there is a new cue for the keyboard, then the voice returns, your familiar companions. The performance is proceeding. But no, wait, you're not imagining that the auditorium has become a tiny little bit brighter still. In fact, you're able to discern silhouettes. A touch of unease is beginning to take hold of you. You look at Eric, the stage technician, fiddling around at the lighting console. Damn, is this some technical glitch? Hoping to avoid drawing attention to yourself, you look questioningly at Ruth and Simon, the directors of the piece. The pair are standing at some distance from you and watching the proceedings. Neither reacts to your puzzled expression. You wonder whether you can just run away, and again look at Eric. The performance goes on. The contours of the people in the auditorium are more clearly visible now. Left and right of you, you see people. Hear the keyboard and the voice, a web of sounds, everything blends together in your head. You direct your imploring gaze at Eric, hoping that he can just turn off the light. After all, it was supposed to be quite dark. Eric smiles at you indifferently, as if nothing special had happened. Looking at him beseechingly, you try to make him realize the seriousness of your predicament. The lights continue to go up. Unperturbed, the speaker is reeling off his text. Eric gives you a quick, dismissive glance. You gaze at him pleadingly, filled with unease, but he affects a fake grin and looks right through you. Ruth and Simon stare at you, their faces devoid of expression. Suddenly you realize that something is very wrong here, and you're frightened. Your thoughts are all tangled up. You must get out of here, right now! A gnawing fear is mounting inside you and your heart is hammering loudly. The light is becoming brighter and brighter, and the fear is spreading, engulfing, devouring you. You want to leave the stage, to bolt, but you feel your whole body trembling. The glaring light is holding you hostage. Cold sweat is drenching your back, and icy perspiration is also gushing from your armpits. It is as if iced water were spilling from every pore. The audience is becoming restless. Anxiously, you dare to glance at the rows of spectators. Sweat is constantly pouring off you, causing your body to tremble more and more badly. You're twitching and shaking, and suddenly the shivering has taken on a life of its own. There is nothing you can do to stop it. Your body has gone crazy, and you're terribly cold. A cramp is flashing through the calf of your left leg. It's twitching, stinging. The muscle contracts until it has become as hard as stone. The pain is excruciating, as if the lower part of your leg were compressed and your toes were clamped in a vise and suddenly bent upward. With all your might, you strive to regain control of your body. The pain subsides for a moment, before the cramp takes over your whole being. You panic. How can you run away if your body refuses to do what it's supposed to? The auditorium is now glaringly bright. The piercing light creates a forced, inappropriate closeness to the audience. One last attempt. You're begging for your life, before hope gives way to despondency. Nobody had asked for your consent to being displayed naked on a garishly lit stage. Rather, the performance was to take place in darkness. Everything had been discussed and rehearsed with you. What has come over Eric and Ruth and Simon? Eric is looking right through you, as if you were a major annoyance to him. The auditorium is as bright as day. The glaring light is burning into you like corrosive acid. Like arrowheads, the spectators' looks puncture your skin. In this moment of supreme distress, you try to make eye contact with Eric. This has got to stop. Eric lets his cold grin wander all over the auditorium. This is when you realize that he has turned the light up quite deliberately, and that you are entirely at his mercy. A horrible monster has been released from Eric's innermost being. An awful urge has drowned his inhibitions. Now he is somebody. Eric draws his power from your humiliation, your nakedness. He needs spectators so that he can find satisfaction in your impotence. Eric is a technocrat who liquidates your dignity with painstakingly executed steps. You are stranded naked on the stage. Exposed before the spectators under the garish lights, you cannot make yourself invisible. The audience seems unable to realize that the spectacle they are party to is not a voluntary one. You hope that somebody will intervene to put an end to this cruel game. Some spectators are beginning to clap. Coarsely, they applaud the terrified young girl on the stage whom they want to recognize as a prostitute displaying herself before a public. They mean you. You want to get up and flee from the stage when you become aware that you can no longer move the lower half of your body. It is as if it were dead. You feel nothing anymore. With an air of importance, Eric busies himself at his lighting console. The performance goes on. Keyboard, voice, searing light, jeering audience. Are there really a few spectators over there who look at you with compassion? You are sitting there, deathly afraid, and try with the utmost concentration to move your left foot forward. But your muscles do not flex. There is no counter pressure. You cannot feel your legs. Nothing can happen anymore that would be worse than this. Deception. Humiliation. Coercion. Violence. You are caught in a vicious circle. Ruth and Simon justify themselves through the autonomy of art. Eric justifies himself through his technical skill. The audience justifies itself through its very presence. Distressingly, the vague consensus of this accidental community justifies the collective humiliation of an innocent person. Ruth and Simon are still standing there, a little way off, never having left that spot. Unfeelingly, they supervise the events. No stirring of emotion escapes them. It is truly an unscrupulous piece of work that they are offering up to the audience. How long have you been frozen in this mortal fear? 10 minutes? 20? With immense effort, you try to extricate yourself from the situation. You exhort yourself to get your act together and calm down. Resolutely, you demand a reaction from your senses. Steadfastly, you command yourself to be sensitive to even the tiniest bit of feeling in your legs. You force yourself to capture even the feeblest stimulus, the weakest pull, the slightest sting, the paltriest pain, the tiniest tingle, to catch every impulse that enables you to localize the lower part of your body. In your mind, you begin to survey first your left leg, then your right one. You must feel something. Suddenly, you are aware of yourself breathing. You inhale air, you exhale air. Oxygen floods your body. Now you feel a jerk. You perceive a gentle pull coursing through your left thigh and want to precisely remember the spot. You are bewildered when the pull subsides and map out the area in your mind. All at once, there is an indistinct sustained tingling, an unexpected resistance. Mass. Is this your lower body? Gingerly, you explore it and become aware that you can feel both your legs. You draw a deep breath. You focus your willpower. Reflexively, you disengage yourself from the stool. Now you put one foot in front of the other, and so on, one foot in front of the other. Biting light accompanies your retreat. Mechanically, you move ahead, pushing your bare body forward, swaying imperceptibly, and on. One foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other. Until you have left the stage of destruction.